Happiness depending upon others is no happiness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Happiness depending upon others is no happiness. Have you ever said to some other person, "You make me so happy"? Have you ever said to your children, "You make me so happy"? Have you ever said to your spouse, "You make me so happy"? Have you ever said to a friend, "You make me so happy"? Have you ever said to anyone else in the world, "You make me so happy"? Well, just remember, if someone can make you happy, someone can make you unhappy by not making you happy. Anytime, for any reason, at all, that we depend upon another person to make us happy, that can also be taken away from us. It's only when we make ourselves happy that we are truly happy. And we don't make ourselves happy. That's sort of a mistaken word there. And we don't make ourselves happy. We do things that are happy things. We entertain experiences that are happy experiences. We entertain people to us that are joyous, happy people because we have created them that way. But backing up now, we have created the experiences. We have created the people. We have created life. However it is, we experience it. You say, "You made me so happy." Well, we made ourselves happy. We chose to find happiness in that experience. We chose to find happiness in that activity. And we made ourselves happy. We were very happy because we made a choice, and that choice was beautiful. A little child comes up to her mother and brings her mother a bouquet of flowers. And the mother looks at the flowers and says, "Oh, you make me so happy." And in her heart, she knows that the flowers were ripped right out of her garden out in front, her prize flowers that she hoped she should show off to the neighbors, how beautiful she can raise flowers. And here her daughter tore them out and brought them into her. Well, what else can she do? She can be unhappy, foolish thing to do, or she can be happy, a very proper thing to do. Under all circumstances in life, we can be sad or we can be happy, totally by our choice, totally by our decision of what we feel are the values in life that are important for us. What makes you happy? What makes me happy? The things that inspire happiness in my life are things of joy, things of peace, things that say to me, "All is right with the world and God is in his heaven." Yes, all is in divine order. That's what says happiness to me. I watch a movie and I see the characters in the movie portraying whatever they're portraying. And as they portray this character that they portray, they enter into that person's persona, whatever they think it is, and they act it out, and they act it out either convincingly or not convincingly. And if they act out the terrible person's convincing persona, then you look at it and you say, "That's a good job. They are believable." And if they act it out in a not believable way, then you say to yourself, "That really was a very poorly done. That's a B-grade movie or less. Or it's no convincing qualities in it. That actor or actress had no real quality of acting about them. They were just mouthing words and mouthing ideas and mouthing images." You see, happiness comes not from any one thing or not from any experience that we have, but happiness comes how we interpret what's going on in our world. How do we interpret what's going on in the world? Do we believe it is believable? Do we believe that our little daughter who brought these flowers that she ripped out of our garden in the front yard and brought them into us, that she meant with all her heart, Mommy, I love you and I want you to have these pretty flowers. Mommy, aren't they pretty? Aren't they wonderful? Well, what could the mother say? The daughter was 1,000,000% sincere. The daughter meant it with all her heart and all her soul and all her being. The daughter was just pure joy, sharing pure joy with her mom. Now, that her mom hadn't taught her that these flowers are precious to grow there and that they aren't to be picked, she never did that. For if she had, the daughter would have had that reluctance in picking flowers that her mother said not to pick. But you see, we have to forget what we forgot. We have to forget that we didn't say, don't pick the flowers. We have to forget that we didn't say the thing that would keep something from happening. We have to remember that all that is happening is what is going on, and is it believable? Is whatever you're experiencing in life believable? And when it's believable, then it's a happy experience. No matter whether it's sad or happy, it's a happy experience. Whatever is believable. Now, is it believable that this little boy is very sorry that he lost his dog, that the dog got run over by a car, and that he won't have his dog anymore? Is it believable that he's so sorry and he's so unhappy? And then come to find out, he didn't take care of the dog. He didn't teach the dog not to go in the street. He didn't keep the dog on a leash. He didn't keep the dog in a proper way that the dog would learn that the street is where big people play and the sidewalk is where little people play and pets. He didn't teach the dog that. Well, he's just a child himself. No. Oh, so we back up another level. You didn't teach him that. You didn't teach him that if he has a pet, he must be responsible for that pet. If he has a pet, he must take care of him. He must take him out to do his duty. He must take that pet out and walk him so the pet gets exercise. He must show the pet exercise and show the pet love and show the pet direction. He is the master of the pet. He feeds the pet. He takes care of all these things. If you don't teach him that, now, the art and activity of teaching a child his responsibility with a pet can be just as overwhelming as going and doing it yourself. And the tendency is to go and do it yourself rather than bothering to teach the child to do it. But think of it. When you teach the child to do it, and the child learns, the child learns not only for the pet, not only what is right and what are responsibilities and what are things that he has chosen to take for himself, but how he himself should act, how sincere he should be toward, does he really want a pet? Does he really want something that he has to take out every day, something that he has to feed, something that he has to train? Does he really want that? Now, if you are a good parent, you will have trained your children to delight in responsibility, to delight in training, to delight in doing all things. That doesn't make you happy, but your happiness depends upon how well you have trained your child to take responsibility, to stay out of the street. How well you have trained your child to play on the sidewalk. How well you have trained your child to take responsibility for levels of awareness that he is living right now in his life. How well you have trained him. How well have you trained him? And the answer is, how well does a child respond to the circumstances of life in which he finds himself now? How well does your dog respond to the circumstances in life that he finds himself? Is he well trained? Perhaps your child does not have sufficient talent or ability or knowledge or age to train a dog. But yet, when a little child walks in a room, and the little child is love and happiness, all the pets want to kiss him and love him and hug him. When a little child is mean and a little terror, the animals are not happy around him. The animals don't want to be where that little child is, that little demon. Who trained that demon? You did. Who trained that demon to be a loving child? You did. Who trained that demon to be a demon child? You did. You're a nasty little child. You're always nasty. You do nasty things all the time. You're terrible. You're nasty. You're nasty. Well, who says that to the child? Not a happy parent. Not a parent that has happiness depending upon themselves. They create in their child a very unhappy self, and that child carries it out in its life. You look at the children who are very unhappy. They're children who have not had training from their parents, training from their family, from their life. You look at children who get in trouble, and you say, well, that's not the parents' fault. It's not, we do everything we can. No, you didn't do everything you can. Did you always say yes and no at the right times? Did you always encourage them to be themselves and be honest and honorable? Did you always encourage them to do things that make them trustworthy, that make the world happy? Have you always spent your time doing those things that bring happiness about? Happiness doesn't come by itself. Happiness comes because whatever you or I have put into motion about it. If we have put into motion that we are happy people, well, happiness comes. If we have put into motion that we are not happy people, unhappiness comes. We may have the most horrendous experiences in life. We may have to be raised by a family that is very unhappy, that is very mean, that's very hateful, that is always angry and always arguing. And then, for some reason, we're sent off to Aunt Jenny's. And Aunt Jenny lives by a lake. And Aunt Jenny is a gentle, loving lady. And Aunt Jenny says to the two children who come from this unhappy family, she says, Jean and John, I'm so happy that you're with me. I'm so happy that I can have you in my life. You know, I've always believed in you, children. I've always trusted you. I've always felt that you were wonderful. I've always felt that you bring happiness wherever you go. I always felt that you are the superest kids that I have ever known. And the kids will look at Aunt Jenny and think to themselves, boy, is she a pushover. Are we going to have an easy time here? Well, Aunt Jenny goes away and she says, oh, by the way, Jean, John, come, let's have some ice cream and cake. And Jeannie and John say, we never were offered ice cream and cake at our house. Ho, ho, ho. And so they go in there and they want to eat the whole case of ice cream and the whole plate of cake. And Aunt Jenny says, no, no, just a nice piece, because we're going to have another piece later on. Oh, okay. You see, they knew more was coming and they didn't have to be greedy. And so they changed from their greedy idea into the idea, more is coming. And then Aunt Jenny says, well, I'm going to go out and sweep the sidewalk. The leaves have been falling down, and the sidewalk all the way from here down to the lake is all filled with leaves. And so Aunt Jenny takes a broom and goes out there, and she has two other brooms laying there. And she doesn't say to the kids, come, I want you to sweep with me. She sweeps, and she sings, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day. And she's singing and so happy, and what she's doing looks like so much fun that Jeannie and Johnny, they pick up the other brooms, and they start helping her sweep. And then she says, I love to get my broom right to the edge of the sidewalk and clean it up so beautiful, because the more beautiful my sidewalk looks, the happier I am. And it is so nice. I'm going all the way down to the lake. And so her sidewalk went all the way down to the lake, some 300 feet. Just a wonderful sidewalk. And when she got down to the lake, she laid the broom down, and she says, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to take this boat, and I'm going to take it for a ride in the lake. Now, there's two seats back there, and anybody who wants to get in the other seats, they're welcome to. But I'm going to take this boat, and I'm going to row it out and just have a wonderful time. Here we go out to row our boat. Here we go out to row our boat. Here we go out to row our boat early in the morning. And Aunt Jenny gets into the boat, and she sits there, and she looks like a queen. And then she says, John, will you untie that rope, please? And John says, of course, you know. And Jenny, well, you push us, you get in the back seat there and push it off from the pier. So John unties the rope and hops in the front of the boat, and Jenny jumps in the back of the boat. And Aunt Jenny says, wow, yes, here we go. And she rows and she rows. And she says, John, will you come sit with me and take one oar and row so we can row together? I think this is lots of fun. And John, who never cooperated with anything that anybody asked him in life, he was just rebellious from the word go. He says, can I do that? Well, I think you can probably do it better than I. Well, John watches very closely, and he sees Aunt Jenny doing it, and he says, oh, okay, I got the idea. And so together they move the oars, and they move them harmoniously and together. And together the boat zooms out across the lake, having just such a wonderful thing. And Jill sits in the back of the boat, and she says, oh, this is so nice. I feel so good. And she takes her finger and she sticks it in the water as they go floating along. Well, as the day progresses, the two children stop fighting, which they did at home, and start saying, Aunt Jill, is there something I can do? Is there something that you'd like me to do? Are we going to go for a boat ride again? And Aunt Jill says, no. I am going to go for a swim. It's such a lovely afternoon. I'm going for a swim. Anybody want to join me? You're welcome. And she puts on her swimsuit, and the children jump into their swimsuits. And they run down to the lake, beating Aunt Jenny. And they get down to the lake, and they stick their foot in the water, and they, it's a bit cool. And Aunt Jenny said, now. Come, watch foot and do just what I do if you want to, because this is the way I get wet without feeling it. And she jumped off the end of the pier. And they said, but... And then she stood there, and the water came up to her waist. And they said, oh, it's not deep. And, no, it's just right. And the children jumped in, and it was up to their shoulders. And they said, wow, this is great. And so they played and they splashed and they did good things. Well, the day went by, and the two children were like angels. And Aunt Jenny said, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I usually take a half hour nap at 2 o'clock. Anybody want to take a nap? And the children thought, who wants to take a nap? And Aunt Jill says, well, I take a nap and I turn on some lovely music. And I lay down, and I take a blanket and cover myself, and I think happy thoughts. And Aunt Jill laid down and took the blanket over her, and she listened to the happy music. And pretty soon the two children thought, well, why not? And they each took their blanket that Aunt Jill had put out there for them. And they laid on another couch. And in no time at all, they were fast asleep. They had had a very wonderful and a very good day. And in a half an hour, boop, they woke up just like the alarm clock went off, because they chose to. And Aunt Jill was sitting there. She just woke up too. And she said, no, now, I love that nap. It always is so fun. It's so great. And she says, now I'm ready for a cup of tea. Would you like a glass of milk? Would you like some peanut butter jelly sandwich and a glass of milk? Oh, yeah. Nobody ever offered them gifts. Nobody ever offered them love. Nobody ever offered them that. It's not that their parents didn't know how to do it, but it's their parents were not accustomed to it. And so they all had their little snack. And after the snack, Aunt Jenny had all sorts of other projects in her mind. And as she shared them one by one with the children became totally possessed by happiness and joy, and they shared it. And when they went home the next day, they, with joy in their hearts, ran up to their mother and said, Mom, you know what we did? We had such a good time. And the mother said, why don't you do that around here? And immediately, the smiles went out of their face. And immediately, the joy went out of their hearts. And immediately, they sulked out of the house and hid because they didn't want to be told things like that. And the father was listening from the other room. And he heard their great joy, and then he heard the dampening of it. And he went out and he found the children. And he said, hey, you guys, you know, that's just your mom's way of saying things. Mom hasn't learned how to be with Aunt Jilly. What do you say we send Mom out to spend a couple of days with Aunt Jill? Oh, yes. Oh, Dad, that's so good. Yes. Oh, hey, yes. Well, Aunt Jill hadn't left the house yet. She is still there. And Dad says, Aunt Jill, what do you think of you inviting Mom to come and spend a day or so with you and see if some of your happiness, some of your technique for getting things wonderfully done might rub off on her. Oh, yes, I would like that very much. Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, Beatrice, would you like to come and spend a couple of days? Oh, anything to get away from here. Let's leave right now. Just, you don't need anything. I have extra sewing suits out there. I have extra clothes that fit you. You're my size, so come on, let's just go. And they said, bye, children, bye, see ya. You and your dad have a good time. And so the children and their father waved to their mother, and Beatrice left and went out and to spend a couple days at the lake with happiness itself. You see, happiness comes not because we force it, not because we are looking for it, but because we are it. We live it. We delight in it. We share it. And in this delight, in this sharing, in this wonderment of all good, everything that we could ever dream of takes place in our life. Would that we could all have an Aunt Jill, huh? Yeah, well, we do. And her name is our name. Her name is our name, and her way is our way, and her life is our life. And we can do it by just being happy and finding happiness in all that we do. Oh my, that lake cottage became a center for love, for happiness, for joy. And the children never forget it. They went out there often. And Mom, she never forgot it. And she asked Aunt Jill if she could come out now and then because she wanted to just do a little bit of rejuvenation. And Dad, he sat there proud as a peacock and said, we did it, kids, we did it. And the kids looked at their dad and said, now, Dad, Mom did it, and you know it. And he giggled and he said, yeah, I know it. Yes, life is wonderful. Life is wonderful when we find the happiness that's always been there, and all we have to do is claim it. I love you. I love you. I love you.